Well, we are so glad that you joined us for Easter Sunday at Kingwood this morning. If we've not had the opportunity to meet yet, my name is Jay, and I have the joy of serving as the lead pastor here at Kingwood Church. And we want you to feel very welcome when you're here today. So there's a couple of things that we've done to help with that. If you will scan the QR code, you can see the top three things happening at Kingwood Church. Every week we do this. We list the top three things going on for the next week. And next Sunday morning, we have an event planned just for you. If this is your first time at Kingwood, or perhaps maybe you've been a few weeks or a few months and just haven't found your place yet or don't know what your next step is, next Sunday morning after service, we're going to have our Get Involved lunch. We'll have a great meal. Our pastors will be there. Several of our leaders will be there. It'll give us an opportunity to get to know you and give us an opportunity to share a little bit more about Kingwood Church. So you can go ahead and scan the QR code and sign up today and join us for that. And it'll be a great opportunity for us to get to know you. And if you're watching online today, we would love for you to jump into the comment section and just tell us where you're watching from. We would love to know that. Maybe it's your, maybe it's another state, maybe it's another city, maybe it's your living room, maybe it's your car, where hopefully you're driving well, but if you'll jump in and let us know when you pull over, you can let us know what's going on there. And also in the top three, in just a few weeks, we're preparing to have a wonderful Mother's Day celebration with our very own Pastor Alana is going to be preaching, and so we're going to have a great day that day. We'd love for you to come and be part of that. Now, while you're here, we've got some photo spots that you can go and take a family picture, and there's a bunch of friendly people around, a lot of them with lanyards on, a lot of them don't have that on, and we just want to greet you before you leave today, so we hope we have an opportunity to do that. I don't know if you've ever asked the question or wondered why so many people go to church on Easter. Have you ever thought about that question? Why are you here? Like, maybe you're here because it's family tradition. Like, I don't know, our family always goes to church on Easter. Or maybe you're here because someone invited you. Maybe you're here because you were just like Google searching, you know, churches because you were trying to find somewhere to go for Easter, and that's how you got here. And if that's the case, however you got here, we're glad you're here. Maybe you were, you know, fumbling through your apps, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, tripped across our website, and you just sort of jumped in here, and however you got here, we're glad you're here. But there's something that draws us toward the church every Easter. Have you noticed that? Millions and millions of people all over the world are drawn to this moment. As a matter of fact, we've heard estimates that 2.5 billion people will be worshiping in a church service somewhere this Easter. From thousands of languages and different cultures all over the world are drawn to this moment because there's something about Easter that draws us toward the church. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter what our relationship with God has been like for the last year, but there's something about this moment that draws us toward the church. And as we enter into this moment, we enter into it with a lot of questions. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but people are curious. How many of you are curious? The rest of you will have an altar call in a moment for you. We're all kind of curious, aren't we? We have questions like, what time is it? When's dinner? How are you doing? How much longer is this guy going to talk? We have all kinds of questions, but beneath those questions are other more important questions like, is God real? And if he is, what is he like? And what's the purpose of life? Or what's the purpose of my life? Am I significant? Do I matter? What is true? What is really true? What is good? What is real? We have all of these questions that we bring with us, and whether you know it or not, these questions are working inside of us all the time, and they really dictate the way we live our life. Whatever you think the answers to those questions are, they decide how you treat people. They decide how you act at work. They decide how you manage your finances, how you deal with conflict, how you respond to your circumstances. They decide everything about our life. But beneath all of those questions are one question that's deeper. I call it the question. It's the most fundamental, foundational question. And every one of us asks this question from the time we're born until the time we die. And here's the question. Am I loved? That's the question. Am I loved? Do I really matter to anyone? Does anyone really care about me? Does anyone really know me and understand me and love me? Now, I have good news for all of us this morning. Easter is the ultimate answer to the question, am I loved? And it answers the question better than anything else ever could, and it answers it once for all. Let me show you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that means he didn't just declare his love, he demonstrated it. He didn't just say it, he showed it. Now, if you've probably lived long enough, and if you haven't, you will real soon, to learn that talk is cheap. And I don't know about you, but I think we have more talk happening right now than we've ever had. There's a lot of talk, isn't it? There's a lot of words out there. And they're firing at us in writing and notifications, in speech all of the time. But God didn't just say it, he showed it. And you know why talk is cheap? Because anybody can say anything anytime they want. But that doesn't mean that it means anything. This verse says that while we were still sinners, while we were still doing our own thing, while we didn't even care if there was a God or not, while we were minding our own business, while we were living our own life the way that we wanted to, this verse says that God showed us his love by dying on the cross. You've probably heard the scripture, John 3:16, but just on Easter, let me read it again. For God so loved the world, he didn't just say it, he showed it, that he gave his one and only son. God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son for you. That's what John 3:16 says. But do you know what 1 John 3:16 says? It says, for God so loved, it says, this is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What does that mean? That means that the reason that you and I even know what love is because Jesus showed us. Let me say it another way. We wouldn't know what love was if Jesus didn't show us. What is love? It's when someone sacrifices from their life for your benefit. When someone sacrifices from their life for your benefit, that's what love is. And this verse says, because Jesus showed us that's what his love is. And by the way, no one's ever sacrificed more for you than him. No one's ever shown their love in a greater way than he has. Your company didn't lay its life down for you. And depending on where you work, that might be more funny than others. Your boss didn't lay down his life or her life for you. Your employees didn't lay down their life. Your friends didn't. And Alabama and Auburn didn't. Some of you might be laying your life down for them. That's a different sermon. But none of them did. The economy didn't. Social media didn't. Education didn't. None of those laid their life down for you. But let's just be honest, this whole thing about Jesus' death and Jesus dying, it's disturbing, it's unsettling. I don't know if you ever saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ. How many of you saw that movie? Mel Gibson, yeah, okay, most everybody, right? Okay, I went and saw it one time, and in 20 years, I've never seen it again. Because it is horrific, and it is brutal, and it is tragic. And that's how Jesus' death affects us. This idea of what he really went through, of laying down his life, what he went through. It's like a really, really bad car wreck. We don't want to look at it, but we can't look away. Because there's something about Easter that draws us toward the church and draws us toward him. Because here's what happened, and here's why it happened. Jesus saw you in your imperfect humanity, and he saw you in your inability to answer the question, am I loved? And Jesus stepped out of heaven, and he became human, and he walked in grace and truth, and he lived the life that you're living, and he feels what you feel. He feels the pull of temptation that you felt. He feels the discouragement that you felt. He knows what it feels like to be overwhelmed and betrayed and hurt and frustrated. He felt all of that, but here's the thing. In every moment that we failed, he succeeded. He never failed. But he knows how we feel. But he succeeded, and you know why? Because God so loved the world. And the Bible actually tells us what true love is in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you go to a wedding, a lot of times this is part of the chapter that you're going to read at the wedding to hear, here's what love is, because this is what we want this couple. We want this couple to treat each other like this, right? True love. Well, Jesus showed us in his life, not just told us, he showed us what this love looks like. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Jesus walked with his disciples for 3 years. That's patience. Love is kind. Jesus fed 5,000 people on a hillside who were hungry because he had compassion on them. Love does not envy. Jesus told his disciples, I'm empowering you to go and do the works that I did and greater works. Love does not boast and it is not proud. So Jesus took the role of a servant. He took a bowl of water and a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. Love does not dishonor. So when the religious Pharisees brought a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, threw her at Jesus' feet, and were about ready to stone her to death in shame, Jesus refused to publicly humiliate her. Love is not self-seeking. The Bible says that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Love is not easily angered. Jesus was accused and mocked and lied about and beaten, and he refused to lash out. Love keeps no record of wrong. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Jesus confronted the religious leaders again and again and again with truth because of their hypocrisy. Love always protects. When Jesus was arrested in the garden by the soldiers, he stood between the soldiers and his disciples, and he said, let the disciples go. Love always trusts and always hopes. Jesus handed over the message of his life and his ministry to the disciples when he left earth. And love always perseveres. Jesus hung on the cross until it killed him. He stayed there until the end. And when he breathed his last breath, he said, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, and he died, he answered the question as good as the question will ever be answered and once for all time, am I loved? And the answer is yes. You know why? Because love perseveres. But here's the best thing about it. That's not even the end of the story. If you go to 1 Corinthians 13:8, you're going to see that love does one more thing. Because on the third day, not only did he die, the stone was rolled away, and he resurrected from the dead, and he came back to life. And you want to know why? Because love never fails. Love never fails. Can I just ask you a question? Let's just ask you a serious question today. What else could he do? What else could he do? He didn't just say it, he showed it. And you can take every description from 1 Corinthians 13 that describes what love is in undebatable terms, and he lived them all. What else could he do? How else could he show you? How else could he say it? And he died so that you and I might receive eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? A lot of times we think about eternal life as, oh, one day I'll float on a cloud and play a harp and, you know, whatever. What is eternal life? Eternal life means a lot more than just going to heaven. Does it mean that? Yes. But Jesus actually defined eternal life in John 17, 3. He said this, now this is eternal life. What? What is? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is not just going to heaven when you die, and it's not just having your sins forgiven. It is both of those, but it is more. It is living in a loving relationship with Jesus right now. Today and tomorrow and in the good times and in the bad times and when everything goes right and everything goes wrong, you can live with a loving relationship with Jesus today. That's what Jesus said eternal life is. That's eternal life. There was a pastor who ran into an old farmer, and the old farmer squinted his eyes at him and he said, what kind of preacher are you? He said, are you the angry kind of preacher that's always telling people to do better because God's mad at them? Or he said, are you the mushy kind of preacher? You're always telling people that God's full of grace and it really doesn't matter what they do because everything's going to work out in the end anyway. The pastor thought about it for a minute and he said, I'm the kind of preacher that tells people that God really loves you, and when you get that figured out, it changes everything. You know why? Because God's love changes everything. And by the way, it's the only thing that can. God's love sets you free. It sets you free from religion and shame and trying to be good enough and sin and wounds and bitterness and anger and hate and greed and fear and worry. And here's the best part. While it's setting you free from all those things, it's also filling you up with some new things that you didn't have before. It's filling you with hope, and it's filling you with faith, and it's filling you with patience and joy and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Love never fails. When you realize that Jesus is for you and he's not against you, when you realize that Jesus is seeking your good, you can surrender to him. So wherever you're sitting this morning and wherever you're watching from today, I want you to know something. You are already as loved as you can ever be. Because Jesus has already said it and he's already showed it. So you are already as loved today as you can ever be. You know, I hope that I'm the kind of preacher that preaches that kind of message. That love never fails and that love will change you. But can I just be honest with you on Easter? It really doesn't matter that much in your life what kind of preacher that I am. Let me tell you what matters. Do you know who the most important preacher in your life is? You. You're the most important preacher in your life, and do you know why? Because you preach to yourself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You're constantly preaching to yourself. What you do is you come in and you sit on a pew in your mind, you sit on a row, and you sit and you just give it to yourself every day. You preach a narrative, you preach a tone, you preach a message, you preach an idea, you preach a concept, you preach opinions. And I got a question for you this Easter. What kind of preacher are you? Are you the angry kind of preacher that keeps telling yourself you got to do better because you haven't done good enough yet because God's mad at you? Are you a mushy kind of preacher that tells yourself it doesn't matter what you do because it's all going to work out anyway? Or you're an atheist kind of preacher that says, I don't really believe in God anyway, so I've got to take control of my own life and I've got to make it all happen because it's all up to me? Are you an agnostic kind of preacher that says, I don't believe in God, so doesn't really matter? Are you a worldly kind of preacher that says, go out and get as much as you can because this is all there is? Are you a religious kind of preacher? Follow the rules. You messed up. Shame on you. You got to do better. Are you a gospel preacher that says, I believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, raised from the dead on the third day. Jesus loved me once for all. It is finished. What sermon are you preaching to yourself? Are you preaching the right message? Because you're the most important preacher in your life. You know, on the first Easter, the disciples preached the gospel for the first time. And there were two basic ways that people responded when they heard it the first time. And it's funny, after all these years, that those two basic ways to respond are kind of how you see people still do it today. The first response was the group heard the gospel preached about how God so loved the world and Jesus died and rose from the dead. And you know what? They thought it was like spiritual hocus pocus. They thought it was a fairy tale. They thought it really didn't matter. They didn't take it very seriously. Matter of fact, they thought some of the disciples that were talking about it were drunk. They're like, what does this matter? But there was another way that people responded. And it was that as they heard and they listened, something hit them and they opened their heart. And they realized that what Jesus had done answered their questions. And they realized that they needed Him in their life. And they began to follow Him, and they opened their life to Him, and they confessed their sins to Him. Which one are you? Has the cross answered your questions? Well, I can tell you this. More money and sex and power and fame and possessions and achievement and success and travel and experiences and dream homes are never going to answer the question, are you loved? So you can go ahead and try to get as much as you can get. And you can spend your whole life working yourself to death, wearing yourself out, trying to achieve and accomplish and build up all of that. And I can tell you, at the end of it all, you'll look back and you'll still have the question. And that question is, am I loved? But I got good news for you. That question's already been answered. It's already been answered. So once again this Easter, as you sit in the pew and you sit on the row and you tuned in online somehow, something about Easter draws us toward God in this moment. And so here's my prayer. My prayer is just this. If this is your first time at Kingwood, to watch online or be here in person, man, I pray that today is the day that you decide to believe and receive that God loves you. Not us, not all of us, not the whole church, not the whole world. You. That God loves you. And maybe you haven't been to church in a long time for some reason. Maybe you have good reasons. But you're here today. Somehow this Easter you were drawn again. My prayer for you is that this will be the moment when you open your heart and say, God, I receive your love. Because I can tell you this, love never fails. And love changes your life. So I'm going to ask you, right where you sit, if you'll just close your eyes and open your heart. Jesus is so patient that He will tell us as many times and for as long as it takes that He loves us. And so I don't know how many times He's told you. I don't know. And He won't quit. But I do know that today He's here to say it again. So with every eye closed in the room, I want to ask you one more question. And I'm not going to ask you, do you go to church? I'm not going to ask you if you were raised in church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. A lot of people in Central Alabama know a lot about God. They know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about church. I'm not asking you if you know any of that stuff. I'm only here to ask you one question. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? That's the only question I'm asking you. And if today is your day, if today you say, you know what? I used to walk with God, but I walked away. Or maybe you say, I'm not sure that I've ever had a real relationship with Jesus. I'm not sure that I know the answer to that. But today, I want to know the answer. Today, I want to have eternal life. Today, I want to know that I have a real relationship with Jesus. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me, and to be honest with you, it is an incredible honor for me to give you the opportunity to pray this prayer and to start this journey. So here's what I'm going to ask everybody to do. If you're a believer, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. If you say, I want to start a real relationship today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And here's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead on the third day, the Bible says you will be saved. And so as we pray together, it's not about just repeating words. It's about believing it in your heart. And when you reach out to God and believe it in your heart, Jesus walks straight into your heart. He forgives you of your sins. He puts you in right relationship with the Father, and you're on a whole new journey, and love changes everything. So I'm going to invite you now. If you're online, I'm going to invite you to pray this in the room. And if you believe it in your heart, today is a brand new day for you. So let's all pray it together. Dear God, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. I ask you now to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me clean of everything I've done wrong and set me in right relationship with God the Father. Give me the strength to follow you. With every eye closed in the room, I want to ask you to do just one more thing. If you prayed that prayer today because you want to know that you have a real relationship with Jesus, I just want to ask you to lift your hand so I can see it and let me know. We're not going to embarrass you. Your hands are right here, yep, in the back. Just lift it up and leave it up. Because here's what's happening in the very back over here. What's happening is our prayer team is coming to you, and they're just going to bring you some information. That's it. That's all they're going to do. They're not asking for anything. They're friends. Right here, would you lift your hand again, please? If we didn't see you, just lift your hand. In the balcony, lift your hand. We have prayer team in the balcony. We're just bringing you some information in the back. Let me tell you what I want you to know. If you prayed that prayer, we believe you. We believe you meant it. We believe you meant it. Would you just lift your hand? Just one more minute, we're going to wait. Just lift your hand and say, I prayed that prayer today, and we just want to give you some information to help you know what do you do now? Right here? Yeah. Just lift your hand. We're bringing you some information. And just our way to say congratulations, what a decision that you've made. Would you just lift your hand? Just lift your hand. Anybody else before we move on? Would you stand with me now? Would you stand with me? And as you're standing, I want to tell you something, church. For those of us who are believers, we have the incredible joy today of celebrating new life. And you know what else? For those of you who lifted your hand, today you have the incredible joy of celebrating new life. Right? Jesus has entered your heart and your mind, and we celebrate that with you, and we want you to know that you made the right decision. And here's what I want to say to you. For those of you that lifted your hand, I want to speak directly to you for a moment. The next 24, 48, 72 hours is important. Because not only have you inherited new life, but now you're going to start a new journey. And we gave you that information because we want to help you. But let me tell you what's going to happen. As soon as you walk out that door this morning, what's going to happen is the devil's going to start to lie to you, and he's going to say, oh, it was just emotional, and it was Easter, and you didn't really think it through, and all of this. How many of you that are believers know that that's true? That's how he works, right? And he's going to try to pull you away. But your first step of faith is to say, I reject that, and I'm following Jesus now. So one more time, let's celebrate new life as our worship team comes to lead us.